Oregon's primary election is over, the voting part anyway. There's still some counting to do, but some trends are clear. Among them, Jackson and Josephine counties will not be changing the structures of their boards of county commissioners. But Jackson County might be on the way to rolling back the salaries of its commissioners. There's that and plenty more to talk about with JPR News reporters in a special post-election edition of The Debrief. We have Jane Vaughn, Roman Battaglia, and Justin Higginbottom in the room. Good to have you all here.
Good morning.
Jane, let me start with you with the Jackson County ballot measures. There are actually three out there that would have done various things to restructure how the county commissioners are chosen and paid. What happened?
Overall, they seem to have been voted down. Two of them were voted down. One of them was approved, but it's a little bit complicated. So the first one would have made the county commissioner positions nonpartisan. That was voted down by about 57% of the voters, according to our preliminary results. The other measure would have increased the number of commissioners from three up to five. That was voted down by about 55% of voters. And then there was another ballot measure that would decrease their salaries, and that one so far appears to have been approved by about 63% of voters. So in April, the county's budget committee had approved a salary increase for the commissioners. So two of them would have made over $150,000. One of them would have made about $136,000. And this ballot measure would have decreased their salary to $75,000. So that one is the one of the three that was approved. However, the text of the measure says that decreasing the salary is dependent on increasing the number of commissioners from three to five, which failed. So it appears that decreasing the salary will also have failed because those two measures were tied together. It's kind of confusing because saying that the decreasing salary was dependent on increasing the number of commissioners was not in the voters' pamphlet. So I talked to Denise Krause, who's one of the chief filers for these ballot measures, and she said that the decreasing the salaries was to offset the cost of adding two more commissioners. But so it appears that that one will have also failed, but we need to kind of confirm because those two measures were tied to each other.
Well, and it's interesting in the approaches, too, because in Jackson County, the attempt to change the structure of the Board of Commissioners and get up to five was done through three separate ballot measures, where in Josephine County, it was just simply one ballot measure. And what happened there?
Right. So Josephine County's was slightly different because they were creating a whole new charter versus three different ballot measures. So the vote was whether or not to approve this new charter. And that appears to have been voted down by about 67% of the voters. And it did have some sort of similarities, like you mentioned, to the Jackson County measure. So it would have increased the number of county commissioners from three to five. It would have elected the commissioners from some newly formed districts rather than countywide. It would have paid the commissioners a smaller stipend rather than a salary and benefits. It would have hired a county manager, all of these things. But it appears to have been voted down. Some of the arguments in favor, you know, the group that was creating the charter said it would have created better representation and effectiveness and efficiency in the government, but it got a lot of pushback from Republicans in the region, including the current commissioners, Herman Bertschiger and John West, who were complaining about increasing the size of the government, and they said it would have made it harder for rural candidates to get elected. So it appears that that charter measure was voted down as well.
I had a feeling it would fail because you know, there's a lot of status quo stuff that goes on in Josephine County elections, as I've observed in nearly 40 years. But 67% was a bit of a surprise. That's a big margin.
It's a big margin.
Let me move on to Klamath County and the sheriff's race, and that's something Roman has been covering. And this is where Chris Kaber, the incumbent, is not running after a fairly controversial term in office.
Yeah. Chris Kaber has been in office for a few years now. He has kind of been embroiled in this ethics scandal slash public fight with county commissioners over the past year. Two of his sons, Ryan Kaber and Eric Kaber, also work at the sheriff's department. And when he started there, there was an agreement between him and the county commissioners over how he would manage them. But then there were some issues where he reassigned his son, Ryan, to a different position without opening that to other people and got into this whole ethics fight. That ethics investigation that was eventually referred to the State Government Ethics Commission was finally dismissed by them last week. So we just learned about that, and this election has been ongoing. He didn't run for election, and seven other people were running to replace him. A lot of them currently work at the sheriff's department. What we see right now, according to the results, Shane Mitchell, who is a patrol sergeant, has clearly won first place. I think he has around 37% of the vote right now, which is a lot more than any of the other candidates. But the second place position is kind of up in the air. Some of the positions or some of the people running are a lot closer in the votes than Shane Mitchell is. Brian Bryson, who is a operations captain at the department, is currently leading over Ryan Kaber, who is the sheriff's son, who is also running for sheriff. He's currently leading against Ryan Kaber by just 73 votes. So that could obviously change as votes are counted. As long as people's ballots were postmarked by Election Day and they arrive within 7 days, they'll still be counted and there's still adjudication to happen.
And 2-3 are important because this is clearly going to a runoff.
Yes. Yeah, if no one this is a nonpartisan race, and so the way it works is if no one wins a majority of the vote, that's 50% plus one vote, then they don't win it outright and the top two candidates go to the general election in November. So we probably know that Shane Mitchell is going to go there, but we're not necessarily sure who is going to be headed to November from that second place position. Right now it's Brian Bryson, but that could change.
Okay, that's Klamath County Sheriff. Jackson County Commissioners, you've been covering as well. There's one seat open because Dave Dodderer is retiring, Commissioner position 2.
Yeah, this race was a little interesting. We saw on the Democratic side, we only had one candidate running, and that was Denise Krause, who led these Jackson County ballot measures. So she was running on the Democratic side unopposed. She'll be heading to the general election, obviously, and you know, keep in mind, these are partisan seats in Jackson County, so that's why we have Democrats and Republicans. On the Republican race, we saw Randy Sparacino win that pretty significantly. For people who don't know, Randy Sparacino is currently the mayor of Medford. He also had a failed race for state Senate back in 2022 against Jeff Golden. It was a pretty tight race, but he still failed nonetheless. So now he won pretty handedly in that Republican primary and will be facing off against Denise Krause for this open Jackson County commissioner seat.
And then let's go on to the Josephine County Commissioners as well. Two positions open there, and both open because Dan DeYoung and Herman Bertschinger opted not to run for additional terms.
Yeah, the only person staying in that three-person commission is John West. So in those two positions, there were quite a lot of people that were running in each. I think there were four people for each position. And one thing that was a little bit confusing about the Josephine County charter change was it mentions making all elected official positions nonpartisan, but the thing is Jackson County or Josephine County commissioners are already a nonpartisan seat. So these races work similar to the Klamath County Sheriff. We're going to see two other races for these commissioner seats in November. For position 2, it looks like it's Chris Barnett and Colleen Martin. And then position 3, right now the winners are Pat Fahey and Ron Smith. But obviously those might change, but they're still winning by quite a lot of votes.
And here again then, because of nonpartisan runoffs in November,
exactly.
Because nobody got 50% plus one. Thank you, Roman. Let's move on to talk about law enforcement levies. We had them in both Curry and Coos counties, and Justin Higginbottom was covering those.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for those law enforcement levies. According to preliminary results, they both failed in Curry County and Coos County. And this region has had a history of trouble passing these sorts of levies, and it looks like they didn't get lucky this election either. So in Coos County, there was a 5-year levy that would fund more deputy district attorneys. They have a huge backlog in cases in that county, and then also add beds to the county's jail. We had a feature run earlier this week where I spoke with the sheriff of Coos County, Sheriff Fabrizio, and he said they regularly have to let people out of their jail to make room for those they're booking. So they want to add space to that. In Coos County, a levy failed in 2008 and 2022 as well. In Curry County, they also had a 5-year tax on the ballot, and that would fund more deputies and patrols. In that county, officers can't patrol. They don't have the deputies to patrol from 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. And also in that feature I did, you know, the sheriff there mentioned that criminals have kind of caught on there. So both of those look to have failed, those levies. And just as a little bit of background, these counties are really struggling right now financially. They've lost logging revenue over the span of decades at this point. Also, some federal grants are expiring that help them. And then just overall inflation and increase in prices for salaries and equipment.
It's kind of a brutal vote here in Curry County, nearly 72% voting no. But what they're talking about doing, they were trying to charge $223 per $1,000 assessed value in a county where the base tax rate for county services is under 60 cents per thousand. That's a heavy lift.
Yeah, that's why it's been hard to pass these sorts of taxes as well in these regions. They've been able to keep their property taxes really low while they were relying on timber revenue, basically federal subsidies for that logging. And yeah, looks like they can't do that anymore.
Jane Vaughn, you ended up with the biggest portfolio here for some reason, so we're going to come back to you to talk about the Josephine County levy for the animal shelter.
Mm-hmm. Which so far is failing by about 59% of the vote. Again, preliminary results, but the problem there is that the animal shelter is struggling. They say they have aging infrastructure. It hasn't been updated in decades. They don't have enough funding. They don't have enough staffing. And so the goal with the levy is to, it would have established a new tax of 47 cents per $1,000 of assessed property value, and then that money would go towards operational costs for the animal shelter and a facility upgrade, building new kennels, things like that. Some residents had complained about the price of the levy. I believe there's already a levy for the shelter of 11 cents, and so this would have added on to that, and some people were complaining about the increased cost. The shelter says it can't provide adequate services under the current conditions. They have animals that they're housing in the hallways, in the breezeway. The septic system and the drains are failing. There's flooding. There's no air conditioning in the dog kennels. So they say they have a lot of problems, and they were hoping that the levy would help address those, but it appears to have failed. The tax would have added approximately $103 more per year for the average home value in Josephine County, and it appears that the voters did not like that proposal.
Especially with this heat, that no air conditioning must not be great for the dogs.
Right, the dogs or the staff and the volunteers. So
right, yeah, all of the above. Let me come back to you, Roman, about Klamath County Commissioners. We haven't talked about the race there.
Yeah, the Klamath County Commissioners was another interesting race. Derek DeGroot, who is an incumbent commissioner there, was facing two other challengers, Sally Ann Palkovich and Todd Jessley. I didn't try and pronounce the names beforehand. But doesn't matter because he won his reelection. That's also a nonpartisan seat, but he currently has 54% of the vote. So right now he is winning his primary outright and will not have to advance to a general election in November. There was also another open commissioner seat in Klamath County, which was left open by David Hensley, who decided to run for state senate. He sadly is losing that race for state senate. Against Diane Linthicum, who was the wife of Dennis Linthicum,
For Secretary of State.
Yes, mm-hmm. And was not allowed to run for re-election because he had too many excused absences because he walked out. So that race was open. There were a lot of people that ran in that race, 9 different people. And right now it appears that the winners are Andrew Nichols, who also worked at the Klamath County Sheriff's Office up until this election, and Regina Jackson, who I was trying to find more information about. She says she's been a manager in the past. I'm not really sure what she's been doing recently other than a precinct committee person for the Republican Party, but sounds like she talks about her, you know, fiscal conservative values and things like that. I know that Andrew Nichols had previously wrote this open letter, you know, talking about the Klamath County Sheriff's race because he had previously worked for the Sheriff's Department and didn't talk about it until then. And since he resigned from the Sheriff's Department to run for county commissioner, he had talked about how Chris Caber is not the right person for the department and how people shouldn't vote for Ryan Caber, and talked a lot about the wrongdoings in the department. So I think that it'll kind of be interesting to see what that November election is going to look like.
Yeah, those gang primaries where you get 9 people running always end up with some interesting results. I want to finish up with Justin Higginbottom again, and a particularly interesting state senate race where there were charges of infiltration by the Chinese Communist Party in State Senate District 1.
Yeah, it was kind of a bitter race, but in the end, David Brock Smith won against 4 Republican challengers. That Senate District 1 represents Curry County, some of Coos, Douglas, and Jackson counties. And during that race, he faced accusations that suggested he had ties with the Chinese Communist Party. There was even a billboard that suggested that, and that was in part due to his support for offshore wind projects. he had an attorney actually send a cease and desist letter to that Republican PAC that was also supporting his opponents. And no Democrats filed to run in that seat, so Smith wins outright in that Senate district.
He'll have to be on the ballot in November against an empty Democrat, unless a Democrat wins write-in votes. That often happens in Oregon law, too. David Brock Smith pulling in nearly 57% of the vote as the counts go at this moment. Thank you all. Justin Higginbottom, Roman Battaglia, Jane Vaughn, JPR News. Good to have a special edition of the Debrief to rehash the election.
Thanks.
Thank you.